Isaiah chapter 55. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and to the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth. The myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Well, the prophet Isaiah has often been called the gospel prophet, and yet in this book of Isaiah we probably find more of the word woe and pronouncing of judgment than in others, because you know God must warn us of the consequences of sin. But all the gospel not only tells us of the just consequences of sin, but tells us of a way of escape. For it's a principle in the ways of God that he never brings judgment without providing a way of escape. He has always, in his grace and love, provided a way of escape. He pronounced judgment. And so all through the book of Isaiah, we find the announcement of judgment, and then often before the chapter closes, God is speaking of the blessing that he is going to eventually bring to his people. And dear friends, this world in which we live is under the judgment of God. When the Lord Jesus was rejected, he said, now is the judgment of this world. He pronounced judgment upon it. They have had their last opportunity. Through the Old Testament, God had spoken through the angels and through prophets. But when the Lord Jesus came in perfect love and grace, and the world cried away with him, then the Lord Jesus announced judgment, and he said, now is the judgment of this world. And ever since that, dear friends, this world has been under judgment. And God has appointed that day, it says he has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Yes, the day of judgment has been set. The judge has been appointed. But God is commanding men to repent. Why is he commanding men to repent? Because he doesn't want to be their judge. He wants to be their savior. And since the judgment has been pronounced, God has waited almost 2,000 years because he's long-suffering and not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He doesn't want one in this room or anywhere to be lost. He is so willing to bless that it says he will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Judgment is God's strange work, but we must not forget that God is light as well as love. God cannot pass over sin. He must judge sin. And the only way that believers escape is because our sins were judged upon the head of our substitute. That's the only way. The only way the Israelites escaped in the land of Egypt when the firstborn was slain was because the blood was on the door. The lamb had died in their place, and God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. It wasn't because they were better than their neighbors, because they were sinners too. But God looked upon the blood. He saw that the substitute had died in their place. And not one in this room can say with assurance that he is saved unless he is under the shelter of the blood. No, there's no other way. It's not that God looks lightly on sin, dear friends. It's because God has judged sin, and he has provided a Savior through that finished work of Calvary. And so this lovely chapter can begin with that blessed call, "Call everyone that thirsteth." Yes, God is calling now. Is there any thirsty one here tonight? Is there anyone here, as a little hymn says, "Come weary ones who oft have drained the cup of pleasure dry, for Jesus only life can give, a life that ne'er can die." And I'm sure that unsaved ones here in this room must confess that this world cannot satisfy. God allowed one man to get everything that he wanted in this world. That was King Solomon. He said, "I withheld not my heart from any joy." There wasn't a thing that he wanted that he didn't indulge himself in. He just spent money freely and more or less did as he pleased to find happiness. And what was the result of his search? What did he say when he had tried it all? Over and over again, the book of Ecclesiastes, we read these words, "All is vanity and vexation of spirit." But we find another man in the book of Philippians, the epistle to the Philippians, and that man was deprived of earthly pleasures. He was shut up in a Roman prison. He was deprived of even the necessities of life, so that he was actually hungry and forgotten by some of his friends. And yet that man was happy. What was it that made him happy? Oh, he had a drink of the water of life. Lord Jesus said to the woman in the 4th chapter of John, whom he spoke to at the well, he said, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again." And you can write across every fountain in this world those three words, "shall thirst again." There's nothing here that can satisfy. Now, I don't say there are no pleasures in these things. The Bible says there are. The Bible says the pleasures of sin are perceived. Yes, there are pleasures. And while you have your health and friends and money, you do find certain pleasures in sin. But they don't last, and they bring judgment. "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the way of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God shall bring thee into judgment." Yes, dear friend, you can indulge yourself. You can have a good time as long as God gives you health and money. But remember, there's a reckoning day coming. But there's one who can satisfy your heart. And whether it's a boy or a girl or an older one here tonight, if there's a place in your heart that's not satisfied, the Lord Jesus is calling you. It's just as if your name was in this verse. "Call everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters." Come ye to the waters. Yes, the water of life. "And he that hath no money." Well, you can't buy salvation. You can't buy it. It's beyond our ability to pay for it. The price is too great. It's more than we can ever but more than we could ever pay. He that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Well, you say, why does it say buy? If it doesn't require money, why does it say, come ye, buy and eat? Well, I believe there's a little something here that we need to notice that has a message to us. What is it that keeps people from coming to Christ? Oh, it isn't because they have to pay money for salvation. But you know, there are some people that are so engrossed in the things of this world and they're so afraid of being laughed at by their friends that they won't pay the price. That is, they love the pleasures of sin and they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Oh, what a solemn thing. Can it be that there's someone here in the heart, in your heart, you're saying right now, well, I'd like to be saved, but you know, all my friends would laugh at me. They'd say I've gone religious crazy, and it would make such a tremendous change in my life. No, I don't think I could accept salvation. I don't think I could get saved. Well, that's just what it means here. Come ye, buy and eat. It doesn't require money, but it may mean that your friends will laugh at you. It may mean that they won't understand you, but remember, your friends can laugh you into hell. They can't laugh you up. Oh, no, dear friend, and is it worth it to have the laughter, to have the approval of this world and lose your soul? Oh, no, indeed it isn't. And it says, come ye, buy and eat. And then isn't this lovely? Yea, come buy wine and milk. Why does it say this? Wine and milk. Well, this is the world's pleasure, you know. They go out, and how much of the pleasure of this world is connected with drink? How much of it is wine? Anybody that works in an office, anybody that has anything to do with men and women today, no, that's what they talk about. When you go into the office tomorrow morning, they're going to talk about these things because they're drinking of the wine of this world. They're going to talk about the good time that they had. God says, I'll give you a good time. He says, you can have wine. You can have what really makes you happy. But it's not out of the pleasures of this world. But the Lord Jesus can give you pleasures forevermore. Says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. I was walking home one day, and a neighbor came along, and he was carrying a case of beer in his hand. And he said, well, I suppose you don't have much use for this. And I said, well, I got my wine without paying for it. Oh, he said, you did. Yes, I said, I accepted the Lord Jesus as my Savior, and the Bible says to buy wine and milk without money and without price. And I came to him, and I received something better than what you've got in that case by accepting Christ as my Savior. And that's just what it means, dear friend. Buy wine and milk without money and without price. Yes, the Lord will give you joy to the last, and that's what he wants you to receive. That's his invitation to you. The water of life, the joy that's typified in the wine, and the milk, the food of the newborn babe into the family of God. For it says in Peter, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. You may say, I don't enjoy reading the Bible. I don't know how a person could enjoy reading the Bible. Well, that's because you haven't been born into God's family. But when you are, you'll enjoy it. Many in this room can look back to the time when, as a little hymn said, despise the mention of his grace, too proud to seek a hiding place. But now we can say we find our joy in reading his precious word. Buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore be spending money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not. Oh yes, how much money is spent. How many people, when they get money, they think, what can I What can I do this money that will bring me satisfaction? Wealthy people just think of how they can spend their money to find something that will satisfy. But money does not satisfy. The things that money will buy don't satisfy. Now, of course, it is a necessity in getting through this world, but it doesn't bring what satisfies. Someone gave this definition for money. They said that money is a universal passport to every place but heaven and a purchaser of everything but happiness. I think that's a very good definition. You can get pretty well anywhere in this world if you have enough money. And you can buy from near anything in this world but happiness with money. But oh, here's something that the Lord Jesus gives. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. And those who have received the Lord Jesus as their Savior only wonder why they didn't receive Him sooner. Why did we put it off? Why did it come sooner? Because He does satisfy. Christ alone can satisfy. And so it says, let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Oh, who is this that's calling us to come unto Him? Who is it that has come unto me? Well, in Matthew 11:28, when the Lord Jesus was here upon earth, He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, the very one who created this universe is the one who wants your company. When God walked in the garden, after He had created man, man had sinned and He hid from Him. What were the first words that God spoke after sin entered the world? Adam, where art thou? Adam, where art thou? God became a seeking God, and He's been seeking man ever since. And He's seeking you. If there's one unsaved one here tonight, I want to tell you that He's seeking you. Oh, you say He wouldn't be interested in me. I'm such a small part of His vast creation. I can believe in God as a creator God, but I couldn't think He'd be interested in me personally. Oh, think of the time when the Lord Jesus looked up in the tree and saw Zacchaeus. He said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. Think of the time when the Lord Jesus, after His resurrection, saw that poor woman weeping in the garden. He said, Mary, oh, He knows your name. He knows the burdens on your heart. He knows your actions. Everything is known to Him. The Bible says all things are naked and open under the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. The God who made this universe is interested in you. And He says, come unto me. And oh, you'll never know the blessedness of salvation till you come to Him, till you receive Him personally as your Savior. Hear, and your soul shall live. It doesn't say do, because, you know, we can't earn salvation. It distinctly tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So it doesn't say do, and your soul shall live. How many people there are that are doing for salvation? They're working. They're trying their best. Friend, your best is not good enough for God. Your best is not good enough for God. Supposing I had a letter and I wanted to mail this letter, and I turned to my little child, 3 years old. When she was small, she was very, very confident, you know, that she could write. And I turned to her and I say, here, Eunice, will you address this letter for me? And I can just see her little face when she was 3 years old. It would just break out in a beaming smile, And she takes the pencil, and with all the possible confidence, she would attempt to address that letter. And more than that, when she was done, she would have been perfectly satisfied that it was 100% all right. Yes, she would have thought it was just fine, her very best, her very best. And I drop it in the mailbox, and I say, well, that's a little girl's best. The post office will surely accept it. What more can she do than her best? Oh, you say, but she can't write. You should give it to somebody that's able to write. You can't expect a child like that. You know you have to give it to somebody that's able. Well, dear friend, that's just what I want to bring before you. That's what God wants to bring before you. There's one who's able to save. And it's not you. And it's not me. Who is it? There's one who's able. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Yes, I want you to know that one who's able. He's able to save. Hear, and your soul shall live. Can you really at this moment have peace with God without doing one thing? Can you have the knowledge of salvation? God says so. God says so. It says in John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Can you just pass from death unto life by just believing? Well, here it says, here and your soul shall live. And that lovely verse says, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. Oh, you say that the judgment day is coming. Yes, but the judge himself told me there's no judgment for me. The judge himself said that he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me shall not come into condemnation. Oh, is this grand? Hear, and your soul shall live. Because we can't do anything, Christ has done it all. Oh, but you might say, I don't have the faith for it. Well, it says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And tonight, if you will just listen to what God has to say to you, and you'll look up and tell him that you will take him at his word, he imparts the faith. He imparts the faith. Yes, it's all of himself. But you know, we don't like to take that low place. We like to feel we can do something. We like to feel that we have our part. But I like a little hymn that puts it nicely. It says, come as thou art in all thy sin. Come with thy hardened heart. Come with thy cares, thy doubts, thy fears. All grace he will impart. Yes, come to him like that man who came to the Lord Jesus when he was here and said, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Yes, he wants you just the way you are. Just come to him as you are. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. People talk about making a covenant to serve God, turning over a new leaf and making a pledge. They're going to live better lives. But God says, I want to make a covenant with you. I want to make a promise to you. I want to give you an assurance. Oh, isn't this grand? God himself wants you to have peace. He wants you to know you're saved. It says in 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. People think it's humble to doubt. Dear friend, it's dishonoring to God to doubt when God has spoken. He wants you to be sure. He doesn't want you to go on through life with uncertainty. Is the word of Christ enough? Does the blood cleanse from all sin? Well then, just take God at his word. Receive it for yourself tonight. And salvation will be yours. And then it says, the sure mercies of David. We all, I think most of us know, that David certainly wasn't a perfect man. Poor David fell into a very gross sin in his life. A sin perhaps that you would say, oh, that was an awful sin that David committed. And God said it was too. But God showed mercy to David. And he said that the sin he had committed was forgiven him. And the Lord Jesus can forgive you too. He can forgive the vile sinner. It says, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin. And by him all who believe are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. This is a proclamation of pardon. All who believe, justified from all things. Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin. Oh, isn't this wonderful? A message for your heart and mind. Even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Yes, this world, as we often say, is a wilderness. It's hard to find the path through it, isn't it? But God has provided not only a Savior, but he's provided a leader. And those of us who have received him as our Savior can say that the one who saved us is the one who leads us. He leads us on through life. Many years ago, the Lord Jesus saved my soul. If he had saved me and said, now, Gordon, you're going to have to find your way through life. You're going to have to make out the best you can because I've saved you. Now, you look after yourself. I'd be a lost soul if that were so. But that isn't the kind of a Savior that I have. He's an all-the-way-home Savior. He saves and he keeps. And the one who saves and who pardons is like the shepherd who picked up the sheep and he carried it home, rejoicing. Not partway home, he carried it home, rejoicing. And so, here's the mercies of David. Your soul lives an everlasting covenant, and then a leader and a commander. Someone to guide us, someone to show us the way. Oh, how graciously, how fully God provides. But now there's a warning in the sixth verse. It says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Friends, I dare not tell you that there's lots of time. I dare not stand here and say, well, think it over and make your decision next week. I dare not say, think it over and make your decision tomorrow. Because I don't know what a day may bring forth. I don't know what tomorrow may hold for you or me. We can't tell what may come before the morrow. So it says, seek ye the Lord, while he may be found. He can be found right now. He's standing right beside you. As it were, he's holding out his nail-piercing hand, and he's saying, come unto me. Won't you turn and seek him right now while he looks at you and holds out his arm of love to you? Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. He's near tonight. He's come to you in grace. He's taken up the question of sin and settled it so that he might come to you in grace, I say. But all I beseech you, don't put it off. Don't put it off. Many a person has delayed salvation too long, intended to be saved, but put it off too late. And the longer you leave it, the harder it becomes. Oh, it's a blessing to be saved when you're young. I pray that these dear boys and girls will receive Christ when they're young. Because every year you put it off, it becomes a little harder. But it's easy now. Salvation's right within your reach. And the gospel meeting is the most wonderful opportunity. Because you just sit here, right under the sound of his word, you can bow your head and tell the Lord Jesus that you're a sinner and that you take him as your Savior. There's no better time than right now. Take him while he may be found. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Oh, sinner, don't belong to your sins any longer. Don't go on your sins one moment longer. Let the wicked forsake his way.
come to the Lord Jesus just as you are. The little hymn says, just as I am. Come to Him in all your sins. Don't wait until you have a chance to clean up. No, come right now as you are. That's the way He wants you. Come with your doubts. Come with your fears. Come with your hard heart. Just as you are is the way He wants you. Because if you could do anything to make yourself fit, then you could take some credit to yourself. But the Lord wants you just as you are. And so He says that the wicked forsake His way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Perhaps you're like Naaman. Naaman had thoughts. He thought that the way the prophet would heal him would be to come out and put his hand over the place and recover him of his leprosy. But he thought wrong. God's way is different from his. God's way is different from his. And your friend, you may have had your thoughts too about how you should be saved. In my conversation with people like mine, but most people have some kind of thoughts about how they should be saved. They tell you usually, well, done the best I can. I'm going to church. Never did anybody any harm. All kinds of things that they have. These are their thoughts. But it says that the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And I am returned unto the Lord. Yes, you must come in God's way. God is not going to change His way of salvation to please you or me. He has only one way. It says neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is no one but the Lord Jesus to save you. There is no other way but His way. Now what will we do for you? All this morning, and He will abundantly pardon. Oh, friends, this is what He'll do for you. If it just said pardon, it would be wonderful. But it goes farther. It says, and He will abundantly pardon. Abundantly. Oh, there's no one too bad for the Lord Jesus. And there's no one that is so good that you don't need Him. Oh, if you just come, He will abundantly pardon. Oh, yes, you can be pardoned tonight. There's a cemetery over in the east, and someone who had entered into and enjoyed this, when he passed away, he just had one word put on his gravestone, and that was the word forgiven. Forgiven. Oh, that speaks volumes. And isn't it blessed to be able to say, pardoned by God Himself? Pardoned by God Himself? The only one who has a right to pardon you says He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. Oh, friend, I beseech you, give up your own thoughts. A friend of mine was saying that someone had said to him, well, he said, you think the way you like and I think the way I like. And we both have a right to our own thoughts. Dear friend, if I'm just standing here giving you my own thoughts, I hope you won't receive them. Because God says my thoughts are not your thoughts. But I want you to be like the Bereans of old. When Paul preached to those in Berea long ago, it says that when he was done preaching, they searched the scriptures to see if what he said was so. They received it as the word of God. And tonight, I want you to receive it from God, not my thoughts. If it's a question of thoughts, you do have a right to your own thoughts. But remember, if you have a right to your own thoughts, you won't be saved by those thoughts. No, friend, they won't. Yes, if you want to stick by those thoughts, you can stick by them. But remember, it's not God's way. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. God Himself, as we sang in our opening hymn, Hail Sovereign Love, that first began that scheme to rescue fallen man. God Himself instituted this plan of salvation. and he has provided salvation in his own way. And oh, I would ask you, we're living in days of education. We're living in days when people say, well, I'm going to think it out for myself. I know people have believed these things in the past, but really in a generation when you've got to think things out for yourself. Dear friends, God's way of salvation hasn't changed because it's 1966. No, he has one way, and that way has stood through the ages. It's God's way. It was God's way when the Lord Jesus had finished the work of redemption and the Spirit came down, the gospel was announced, and it hasn't changed through the centuries. No, dear friends, men change because their thoughts are finite. But God doesn't change because his thoughts are infinite. And he knows your need, and he knows mine. And he only can meet that need, and he has met that need at Calvary. And as the little hymn said, I'm Jesus, God's just vengeance back. Yes, God took the sins of all those who believe, and he put those sins upon the head of his spotless son, and he brought judgment down upon him. And the Lord Jesus bore all that judgment, and he said, it's finished. And tonight, we can tell you that the work is finished. Christ died for our sins. He was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Oh, I ask you not to brush aside this important thing. Don't say it's too simple. Don't say, well, I never thought that way before. Accept it. It's God's way, my friend. It's God's way. I might say this, but I didn't like to think this way myself. I think many of us can say that when we heard the gospel, it was absolutely contrary to our thoughts. And God had to break it down until we were willing to say, truth, Lord. I believe what you say, Lord. Yes, and he wants to bring you to that point tonight. Will you take your place at the feet of the Savior and look up and say, Lord Jesus, I want to be saved tonight in thy way. In thy way. He has provided salvation for you. And the work of redemption has been completed. And tonight, I want to tell you that judgment is either ahead of you or behind you. If you reject the Lord Jesus, judgment is ahead of you. If you look back at Calvary and see those sins laid upon the Lord Jesus, you can say, judgment is past for me, the Lord Jesus, for my sins in his own body on the tree. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And then here it tells us about the rain. The rain comes down. And what happens when that rain comes down? Well, it makes the seed grow, doesn't it? Makes the seed grow. And God says that his word is like this rain. It comes down, and he says it's going to accomplish what pleases him. And we were looking this morning in the book of Revelation, and it tells us about some seats in heaven. And then it tells us that those seats are all filled. In a figurative way, it speaks about 24 seats, and on the seats, 24 people who were saying, thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. And dear friends, heaven is going to be filled. God has a place in heaven for sinners saved by grace, and heaven is going to be filled. And as the word goes forth, God is going to use this word in blessing. And if you reject it, remember, God has given you the opportunity. The word has come to you that you might be among that company. God is offering you salvation. Is it going to be in vain as far as you're concerned? Are you going to turn a deaf ear to God's entreaties of love? Well, his word is going to accomplish that word to the ascendant. For you know, God uses his word for the salvation of the soul. There are some people that want to feel something. And you know, they depend an awful lot on their feelings. And so one day they say, well, I think I'm saved today. I feel very good. And another day, they're not very sure. because they're depending upon their feelings. You friends, your feelings are very unreliable. If you depend on your feelings, why, you'll never have the knowledge of salvation. If somebody came and said, well, I don't believe that you own that house you're living in, but you have the papers that showed that it belonged to you. When this person came and said, I don't believe that you own that house, would you start and talk about your feelings? Well, would you say to them, well, no, I feel pretty good about it. I really feel good about it, I'm sure, because I'm so happy that this must be my house. Is that the way you talk? Oh, you wouldn't think of talking that way. I think you'd answer them something like this. You'd say, well, I have the papers in a safe place, and also it's registered in the titles office, and I'm satisfied because of that. You wouldn't even think about your feelings, friend. You'd think about those papers tucked away in a safe place, and you'd think about how it was registered in the titles office that it belonged to you. And when the devil comes and says, well, I don't know whether you're saved or not, can you say, well, I've got God's word for it, that's how I know I'm saved? And my name is written in heaven because God says it is. Can you say that, dear friend? Well, that's better than 10,000 feelings. That's better than 10,000 feelings. I ask you, with your piece of property, you never think about your feelings. Why is it you get so occupied about your feelings in connection with salvation? Well, I know why. Because the devil doesn't want you to be a happy Christian. But if you just take your finger and put it on the verse and tell the person that asks you, or even the devil himself, that you know you're saved because God said it. Oh, that's what gives peace. The devil came to me. He made me very miserable, filled with doubts. And I tried to argue with him. And he was better at arguing than I was. He made me very miserable. Perhaps he's done that to some others in this room. Until I took that lovely verse, 1 John 1:7, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleansed us from all sin. And every time the doubt came, I quoted the verse. I took the title deeds from God's own word. Dear friend, you can have it too. It's God's word that accomplishes what he purposes. It's God's word. And he wants to use that word by his Spirit to your blessing tonight. Oh, may God grant you just take him in simple faith at his word. And now in this 12th verse, for ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you with a singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Yes, you can go out of this room with joy too. What joy? The joy of salvation. The joy of knowing that your sins are forgiven. The joy of knowing that you have peace with God and a home in heaven. And so it says, you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. Who will lead you? All that one whom God has given to be a leader and a commander to the people. Yes, he'll lead you. He'll take you by the hand and lead you and give you the peace that comes through the blood that was shed on Calvary. And then I like what it says here, and the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing. You know, in the Bible, mountains are used as a figure of things that obstruct us. The Lord spoke about removing mountains by faith. And maybe there's some mountains in your way. You say, well, I'd like to be saved, but there's a big mountain in my way. There's something to hinder, perhaps something not so big, a hill. And you say, well, I'd like to be saved, but you know, you don't know what I have to face if I confess Christ. Oh, isn't this lovely? He says he'll lead you out with joy and with peace. And those mountains and those hills will break forth before you in the same. And oh, how often the difficulties that we feared, God comes in and he removes the mountain. When Saul of Tarsus was saved, I'm sure there are many mountains in his way. He saw what would happen. He would be immediately despised, and his life was stopped. He hadn't been in the nice for very long till they were trying to put him to death. But the mountains broke forth before him to sing. Yes, instead of him being afraid, he was the victor himself. And his heart was filled with joy. And he went out to preach to others of the Savior who had saved him. And so if there's someone here who's hesitating because of the mountain in your way, if you take Christ as your Savior, the mountain will break forth into singing. The hill will break forth into singing. And the trees of the field shall clap their hands. That is, everything takes on a new look when one has Christ as his Savior. And then it says, instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. The thorn was the curse, you know. God said when sin entered that the earth would bring forth thorns and thistles. But he said instead of the thorn would be the fir tree, an evergreen tree. Oh, how lovely. That is, the curse is removed. And there's greenness, there's freshness, there's fruitfulness. Oh, how different. Yes, dear friend, when you receive Christ, you're made a new creature in Christ Jesus. The one who saves you goes before. He's able to undertake. He's able to help you over all the difficulties and troubles. For I say again, this Savior that we talked to you about tonight is an all-the-way-home Savior. Don't let the devil keep you from coming to Christ. Come tonight. Come just as you are. Come with your doubts. Come with your fears. But come honestly and as a sinner and say, Lord Jesus, you know all about me. And I come just as I am. Receive me. And he will receive you. He'll put away all your sins. He'll make a covenant with you. He'll undertake for you the difficulties. And then at the end, there's a place up there in glory for all those who know him as their Savior. Will you be there? But oh, I must warn you that if you reject that Savior, if you say no to his offer of grace, remember, judgment is ahead of you. And I wouldn't be faithful to you if I didn't warn you that God said there is a hell. God said there's judgment to come. And if you reject this blessed Savior, if you go on in the pleasures of sin, if you say, I'm satisfied to have my good time here, remember, the day of reckoning is coming. And oh, how terrible to think that you'd have this opportunity tonight, that you could have had your wine without money and without price, but you chose to have what the world offered in judgment at the end. Oh, why not tonight? Receive the Lord Jesus. Seek ye the Lord, while he may be found. Call ye upon him, while he is near. Shall we sing number 111? Once again, the gospel message from the Savior you have heard. Will you heed the invitation? Will you turn and seek the Lord? Come believing, come to Jesus, look and live. Come believing, come to him. Come to Jesus, look and live. 111. Once again.